I'm sitting here with Art Nichols out at his beautiful place, and so grateful for Art, you sitting down and talking with me for a few moments about your experience with being a steward of God's creation and what that has looked like in your life, and maybe some lessons it's taught you along the way. Why don't we just start, and certainly just go ahead and introduce yourself to anybody that doesn't know who you might be, but also tell us about your relationship with this piece of land. When did it start, and how's it kind of come to be where it is now?
Okay, I'm Art Nichols, son of Evelyn and Stuart Nichols. Dad bought this property, this farm, in 1986-87 from Betty Woodfin. And so we've been tending to it. I understand that we own the title on it. Actually, it's still Mom's land. I live here with her. My sister lives here on the property next to that Mom deeded to her. I have expectation one day it might be mine, but it's not mine yet. But the true statement of it, it's not Mom's either. It all belongs to Jesus.
There you go.
It's ours. We've been fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to take care of the place. And I think that's where John's idea of stewardship falls in. Some of the people that know me and have come out and seen what I'm trying to accomplish with this little piece of ground say I'm crazy. nobody else in the world will be doing what I'm doing. And the only reason I do it is because I can. And I can because Jesus saved my life. And so I take the responsibility of stewardship down to the most ridiculous, silly little stick on the ground seriously.
We're going to circle back to that in a minute.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But the biggest part about it is it's a lot of manual labor and what some people would call work, and it's just not work for me. and that means it's unfair for me to take any credit for anything that's done out of here, because I'm just out here playing. And the joy in doing what I believe is my assignment for Jesus right now as best I can, so that one day somebody might drive past and say, "Man, look at that place. What's up with that?" And I can say, "Jesus is up with that."
Wow.
And give him all the credit for everything I do.
All right, so your dad got hold of it in 86. You worked it for him. You also went off to college and had a career, and then you came back here at what point? Really began working in earnest.
I went to Auburn in 1980, got a degree in animal sciences, came back home to the farm, and worked the farm for about 7 or 8 years with Dad before we decided to move back to the city and do bigger things. Did that for 20-something years and had great success and great fun at it, but I moved back home to the farm 10 years ago.
10 years.
It's been about 10 years.
That's
I don't
right.
keep up with dates very well.
Been a little longer than that, actually, I think.
Yeah, and Dad had been gone probably 10 years before that, so the place, Privet, was Mom was doing the best she could with some help from Charles Owens. But this piece of ground will swallow you if you're not capable of working at it every single day from daylight to dark. That's just a fact. So I've been back playing farmer. I'm 63 now, since I was 53.
Okay. Good deal. And I can tell you just from my own experience driving by your farm, I do see.
Right.
And I see the differences that have been made in that. So let's just circle back to the idea of stewardship. You made the statement that this is Jesus's. How does that translate into your day-to-day work? I mean, when you go out and crank up your tractor, how does that understanding translate for you into what you do and how you do?
Okay, that's a challenge. I can't tell you specifically when the words in the Bible quit being just words, it was during my time at Canaanland Ministries when I was working through my problem with alcohol, that the word quit being just words, and so in living what the book says, that's my oversimplification of trying to honor the words in the Bible. Father, thank you for my precepts, it says in Psalm 119, for they have drawn me closer to you. And when you listen to what the book says, and when I walk out the door in the morning, I start my day every morning with a very large cup of coffee.
There you go.
And I read Proverbs. And I try to hit the door by the time the sun's coming up to see what's next.
Right.
Because on a farm, you don't ever know.
Pardon me, folks. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You'll never know what's next. So you go out and you think, whatever the conditions are, what is the one thing I can do today that would have the most impact on how successful this farm is? And you go do that thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. It's because, and you never feel like it's work, because it's what you're supposed to do. And, you know, in battling the invasive species like privet and native willow trees and kudzu and scuppernong vines and other things that are bad around the property, there's lots of them, and the battle is, for some people would believe, unending. But if you just go, when the tornado came through here 3 years ago, and there were I don't know how many trees on the ground, and I'm looking around saying, man, what do you do with that? And it became just start on the next tree. And when you get done with that one, you start on the next tree. And the same thing's true on the farm. You do the next thing that's important to make the farm successful. I'm concerned for our country, and there's not a lot of people willing to do the kind of physical work that's necessary to do this.
Yeah. How do you define success with your stewardship then?
I just do the best I can.
So there's not like some metric or some goal out there?
If I do the best I can, it doesn't matter.
There you go.
At all. If I do the best I can and cattle prices are terrible, that's okay. I have no control over that. And I think it's true in most anything in life. If we, as Christians, do the best we can to be followers of Jesus, in trying to be friends to everybody we see, because they're our brothers and sisters, whether we like them or not. That's just the truth. It's what the book says.
Yeah.
So I don't perceive anybody else's impression on whether I'm doing well or not. There's only one opinion that I really am greatly concerned about, and that's his. And he knows I'm going to mess up. And I know I'm going to mess up. So my job is just to do the best I can and mess up as little as I can and trust him for the rest of it.
All right. I can say amen to that, but I can also say there has been a tremendous amount of difference made in this piece of property in the last 10 years. And that's just eyeball test. And this is from somebody that's a non-farmer. I don't have that kind of relationship with it. But are you able to look back on where you were 10 years ago and where this place is now and have some sense of satisfaction or some sense of accomplishment?
Not really. No. I never look at it that way.
How do you look at it?
I look at it, what's next?
Yeah.
I know what I need to do. I do recognize that I've been able to accomplish far more than I ever believed possible in doing it his way, by just believing and picking up the next stick. That's all you got to do. I had a friend of mine from town come down who hadn't been on the farm, and he has some horses, and he hadn't been here in about 4 or 5 years. And he was talking about what a problem he had with a specific area of briars. And he was a big, huge patch of briars, terrible. And I said, well, that's real easy. He said, what do you mean it's easy? I said, I'll show you exactly all you do. I found a briar plant, and I cut one briar plant. I said, that's how you win.
Yeah, one at a time. Well, there's a life lesson in that. There's some parables in that. So to that end, what are there some lessons? And I know there are, because it's not an unusual thing, Art, for you to give me a call on an early morning sometimes and share with me the latest thing the Lord has taught you about himself or about his ways through your participation with him and what he's doing right here on this little piece of property. What are some of those that stick out in your mind?
If we don't celebrate the itty-bitty tiny victories each day, we won't recognize the big ones when they happen. And there's so many gifts that God gives that we never see. And I think the book says it this way: all, and when it says all, we should pay attention. All good things are a gift from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're outside and you look around and you see that everything, your grass is growing, it's rained, the cow's got plenty to eat, that is a gift from God because it's a good thing.
My phone is giving us some ambient background. Go ahead. I'm right. Sorry.
And so usually when I'm out in the mornings and you're feeling good in the morning, you're rested and you're really enthusiastic for the day, I see one of the gifts God has given me is I tend to be completely optimistic about everything, and that's a gift from God. How I perceive things is different than everybody else, I think.
I think that's also a learned discipline that we can have. That's another discussion, but go ahead.
I don't disagree with that. Discipline is something we have to practice,
right?
Like anything of value in life. And so there's many times I'll call John in the mornings and say, man, you ought to see this and see this and see this and see it, because there's so many beautiful things to see. And the funny thing is I walk around this piece of ground and I see that somebody has done everything that I'm doing before, and it's been so far in the past that I can't find anybody. Roy can't remember when this place was cleaned up and operational like it was at once, because I can see the old fences and I can find the old bridges and I can see where they crossed the creek. And somebody had this place looking great probably 150 years ago.
Wow.
And they did it without a bobcat or a tractor.
Right.
Which is just amazing to me.
Right.
So I'm just doing again what somebody's already done before anyway, and they had to do it in a harder way than I did, so I can't be very prideful in it. I do know that I've made progress. I never take before and after pictures because I'm too busy doing to stop and take the picture.
Right.
And I look back now at times and say, I wish I had a picture of the fact that if you go down the driveway, everything to the right was kudzu and briars.
That's right. Yeah, you used to not be able to see down that little
driveway. You couldn't see off the driveway.
Right.
And there's so many places around the farm that I look back and say, well, I remember what that used to look like, sort of. But I didn't take pictures.
Yeah.
Because it really doesn't matter what it used to look like. All that matters is where you're going.
Well, that'll preach too.
I don't think we should stop and measure how far we've come. You know, one of the things that people the people in Alcoholics Anonymous helped me greatly in my journey through alcoholism. But one thing I never agreed with was your sobriety date, or how many days or months or years you have sober, because that doesn't mean anything. Only matters is if you're sober today.
Yeah.
and what you do with today. I think he says in Ecclesiastes that we're not supposed to talk about how great things used to be. And you're not, and it says later in the New Testament, it says we're not supposed to talk about what we're going to do tomorrow or the next day, because we don't know.
Yeah.
All we're supposed to spend our time concentrating on is what we can do to make a difference in somebody else's life
today. Living well today. Yeah, and immediately. So if I hear you right, part of your experience of interacting with this piece of land is having that immediate presence with it. Now, I also know, just from conversations with you, that you do some planning, like calving. You've gotten your calving season down to a real tight window, which is pretty amazing to me, given all the variables that are there.
Right.
What does that look like, and how is that part of this stewardship that you engage in?
Well, in trying to manage a specific part of this farm, you have to be able to concentrate on that specific part intensely and directly for the time that you have to. And having your calving season in just a 60 to 90 day window, I'd like it to be 60. 45 would be a dream, but that means I can stay on my toes about making sure everybody gets born alive, because I can do it for about 60 days, but I start running out of gas. And then there's other things that come up, like hay season that comes up and fencing problems come up and just overall property maintenance and clearing a privet. So you can't do more than one thing at once well. Multitasking is just a guarantee that some of it's not going to be done properly.
Yeah, I think that'll preach as well. But anyway,
you know, but we have
in
to
in a wider context.
We have to some degree, be able to handle more things than
sure.
than one at a time. But typically, you don't do many well if you're not trying to do too many at once. And you know, I can't qualify the gift that God gave me by allowing me to come back and be steward to His little piece of ground, this little 300-acre piece of ground of His. My daughter says, I think it's like a video game. I just, you know, boom, 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 go on to the next, boom, 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 go to the next, boom, boom, boom. She said, you're just playing a video game. And I said, to some degree, I am.
Yeah.
It's just like coming to our church, and it's not the building, even though that building is a pretty spectacular gift.
No doubt.
For us to be given something that cool to be able to use for church,
yeah,
is a gift. But the people in our church, when I came back home to Siloam, after Janice Williams asked me one day, where are you going to church? And she said, why aren't you in church? And I said, I go to church in Prattville. She said, well, you don't live in Prattville anymore. I said, you're right. So I came back to my home church, Asylum, where I was baptized in 1978 or 79. But the people in our church, you know, God puts certain things together for certain times.
Doesn't He?
And we have a wonderful church family. And to be able to sit beside Paul Thurber,
yeah,
in choir,
yeah,
and watch our kids grow up and have kids, and be there to serve the church and try to find a chance to help somebody and then be there for each other when we go through stuff that we're not dealing with well. It's just a gift to have the people like Andy and Paul and John and Doug Vance who abandoned us.
in a good way.
And David Sanders and all the men in the church that are just, you know, men are stronger together. That's just a fact. When we try to do things our own, we don't typically do them very well.
Right. Yeah, we've really been blessed with that. And you've been blessed here. I know that, you know, your friend Bruce is...
No, be very clear. I have been blessed in life with friends.
Yeah.
Very fortunate in my friendships in life. I've never been in a position in life where I didn't think I had four or five people I could call, and that every one of them would drop everything they were doing, and they would come to help me if I needed it. And that's just a gift. It's nothing that I've done that's caused that.
Yeah, sometimes you call me and tell me another story that gives you evidence that you're God's favorite person. Tell me some of those.
No. Okay.
Or you can give me some background, but also I want our folks to hear some of those stories as well.
Our understanding of who we are in Christ, how well we understand that, controls how well we can live it. If you don't believe that you're God's favorite, and that in everything you do, He absolutely loves you completely, you cannot. When you know for a fact that somebody believes in you, it makes you powerful.
Yeah.
And the trouble with this subject is, it's a choice. You have to choose to believe.
Well, and I think it also changes, certainly for you, and it's helped me to do that as well. It changes how you view the things in your world, because you do see that's evidence of God, that I'm God's favorite person. I mean, like talking about Baylen Hay pretty often.
I came out of church yesterday.
All right.
And Diane's standing at the bottom of the steps. Diane Jowers.
Yeah.
And she always makes me smile. And I looked at Diane and I said, Diane, guess what? I said, she said, what? I said, I can tell you I've got evidence that I'm God's favorite person. And I don't think I've ever jested with Diane about this. So she said, she had a sort of perplexed look on her face. I said, He loves me so much that He made the rain stop so I could get to my car and not get wet.
There you go. There you
and
go.
And I said, guess what? He loves you that much too.
Amen.
Because He did the same thing for you.
That's so good.
And when we spend our day finding the reasons, the evidences of what God does for us, it's sort of like what it says, Paul says in Philippians, whatever we're supposed to spend our time thinking about.
Yeah, think on these things.
Whatever things are of good report.
Yeah.
Meditate on these things. Now, when we follow those simple instructions, and every single day when we meditate on whatever things are beautiful or lovely or just or pure, and not on the stuff that we can find that's negative, which is really easy to find.
Well, like the other day you had a tree fall. And you called me and told me the Lord knew where you needed some more sticks, so we just put them down right there where you needed them.
And I can't even remember calling you and telling you that story. I can't remember that at all. One day I was picking up, and John brings up this stick thing because there's this thing we had between us. I called him one day. I said, "Guess what am I doing?" And he said, "I don't know." I said, "I'm picking up sticks." And he said, and it was to him, that just sounded like something tedious you have to do. I said, "No, you don't understand. Every single stick that hits the ground on this piece of property lands in a place where it doesn't need to be, but there's places it does need to be. And I get to pick them up and put them from where they fell to where they need to be to help manage this property. Because, you know, water, man, the erosion and rain and water is such a huge story on what I do with this 300 acres, because we're on 4 foot deep of sand. They call it the Black Belt and clay. We're almost pure sand here. And erosion control with sticks. Picking up sticks is a wonderful thing. It helps ground you in that if you just pick up the next stick, it's like everything we do. If you find the next right thing to do.
That even found its way to a hairdresser conversation one time, I think, about picking up sticks, and it surprised her, if I remember that right, with Shelly, I think, if I remember.
Shelly, my beautician, my buddy Bruce says she fails terribly in her job.
I would second that.
But I would tell you...
That's no knock on her abilities.
Shelly Hamilton is a wonderful Christian lady, and I really enjoy her as a person. This is one of the people God gifts you with.
Yeah.
You have friends that you can share life's experiences with and know it's in a Christian, somebody that believes and understands that God is number one and we're way down the list somewhere, but he loves us the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a challenge to find exactly what we believe God wants us to do, because he wants us to work it out. That's why he gave us the instruction book.
Yeah.
And sometimes we all wish that he'd just tell us what to do and make it easy, but for some reason he didn't build it that way.
He's just asking us to keep following him. That's
it. Yeah.
Man, that's so good. Well, I've got to tell you, I think one of the things that I have so appreciated, and certainly about your friendship, that you have invited me into your life and allowed me to be a part of this journey with you here and give me a chance to come put eyes on this place from time to time, and even every now and then to raise a hand to help mill down some boards or something like that. That's always a unique opportunity. But I think one of the things are that your experience here has helped me, and it's what I wish for so many others, is just to open their eyes to what is right there in front of them. God is teaching us so much about himself right there and about how he wants us to live, like you were talking about. Let's just do the next right thing. I know you probably would like to have a 10-year plan out there and know that, you know, here's the accomplishments and the benchmarks.
I do, but it's all in my head.
Exactly.
It's not written down anywhere.
Right.
I know where I'm trying to go.
But you get there by doing it today. And you do it again tomorrow.
Yep. And there are days when we flat don't want to do it.
Right.
A good friend of mine on Facebook, a Red Angus farmer, expressed that they'd gone through a period of time where they were sick, and it's something about being not well makes you just not want to do the burdens in front of you get 30 times bigger.
Right.
And they said for a couple of days there they just did not even want to do anything necessary to make things go forward, and that's when it's sort of hard.
Yeah.
And you have to dig down and do it anyway. But fortunately, those days aren't all the time. I sound like Mike Shula saying so many times.
That's all right. Were you reaching back there?
That was terrible.
Yeah, that's all right. Let me ask you this. What's one of your favorite things about this piece of property? Or what's one of your favorite places on this piece of property?
Well, I enjoy the creeks. I think all young men and kids like to play in a creek. And we have creeks. I don't know that I have a favorite part. It's all, and the thing about it, John, is it keeps as you work through it, it keeps revealing things that you've never seen before, and you find things that need fixing that you get to fix. That when you get them fixed, it's going to make. When Dad bought this place in 86, 87, there were huge gullies from erosion, for centuries of erosion, because this ground is so sandy that the water just washes away. And Dad and I, when I was a young man, that was just part of the land. But I came to the realization that those things can be fixed. And some of them are big. But it's just the decision to fix them that's fun. And once you decide and commit to doing it, then it's just something you do. I fix it.
So you're walking down this path then of in many ways of restoring and healing a piece of property, if you will.
Yep. I'm picking up where the stewards before me missed something. Not because they were poor stewards, they might not have understood what needed to be done. Or they might have had tools to do what needed to be done, or they might not have felt it was important. But
and so if I'm hearing you right, you're seeing things now 10 years in, dedicated heart, but that you didn't see 10 years ago.
Absolutely. There's new things you see, and water. Watching water move off across a piece of ground and learning where that water wants to go and how you can control it, because you can't stop it. All you do is slow it down. You cannot stop the water. And that's one of my biggest challenges on this piece of ground is slowing the water down. And I spend lots and lots of times doing lots and lots of projects. I'd hate to know on this 300 acres of ground how many individual projects I've got to slow water down. To maintain the water on this property as long as I can, so it can saturate in the ground and it doesn't wash things away. The people that vote on the other side of the ticket than I do, the people that are on the Democrats that are liberal and profess to be environmentalists, I would love to have them come spend some time with me and prove it and do the things that are necessary to maintain this piece of ground. Because I am a tree hugger.
I hear you.
In the world's greatest sense. Treebeard in The Lord of the Rings is one of my favorites.
There you go.
Tree? I am no tree.
Right, there you go.
And every tree I see, to me, is a gift. And I go around fixing trees all the time. I got places that we've clear cut where there's young pin oaks and water oaks coming up, and I see kudzu vines or any kind of vines, I cut them off of them, and I cut the bad limbs off, and I cut the weak ones that are bad, and I make them all straight. It's like an orchard in sort of a grander, different way.
That's amazing. Gotta let the dog out here, folks.
Either that or listen to him whine.
That's fine. It's part of it. Well, we're kind of close to the end of this. Any final thoughts you want to share with folks that might listen in to what stewarding and being deeply and closely engaged with a piece of land might have to do with our walk with the Lord?
I don't think it really matters what you do. If I worked on the trash truck for the city of Marion, if I chose every day to be the best trash man that's ever been, then Jesus will be right there with you.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Just do your best and not be concerned about what anybody else thinks other than him. I think Paul says it in Galatians 2:20 when he says, "It no longer matters to me if I appear righteous to you or even have your good opinion." It's not that he's so self-conscious of how good he is. He understands the only opinion that matters is Jesus.
It's Jesus. That's right.
And if we do things in the way Jesus would, everything works out better. Always.
Man.
Always.
Amen.
It's not that it might.
It will.
It will. Do what the book says. And sometimes that means digging privet up until you're so tired you can't walk. But somebody's got to dig it up because somebody let it grow there.
There you go, man.
Grow there, excuse me.
Yeah, grow there. Yeah. Your English teacher will be proud of you.
Yeah, I am an Auburn person. And they teach very good English at Auburn.
You said that,
and
I did.
And Bob Island teaches very good English at Francis Marion High School, too.
That's great. Well, Art, man, thank you for a few minutes of your time to chat with us. And I, again, I'm just so grateful personally for my relationship with you as a friend and as just somebody who kind of gets to look over your shoulder and see what's going on and how God's using you to bring restoration and healing to a piece of land, but also how it has come full circle and bringing some restoration and healing in your own life as well. So thank you for your time.
Absolutely.